Now it's time for a weekly look at the top national news stories. President Trump proposed rule changes yesterday that would effectively ban bump stocks. Here he is speaking to reporters and Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
I signed a memorandum directing the Attorney General to propose regulations to ban all devices that turn legal weapons into machine guns. I expect that these critical regulations will be finalized, Jeff, very soon.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the president's idea, the decision to ban these so-called bump stocks? Is it a good idea? Is it enough to help curb violence? Should the minimum age to buy more firearms be raised to 21, as some lawmakers have proposed? Call 800-642-1234. And do you think something is changing in the gun debate right now? Call 800-642-1234. Paul Singer is with us, Washington correspondent for USA Today. Paul, welcome back.
Thanks, everyone. How you doing?
Good. Well, before we get to specifics, the bigger question after this shooting in Florida and the activism of the survivors of that shooting, is something changing in how we talk about gun control?
You know, it's hard to tell, honestly. This is not an uncommon theme in these situations where, you know, in the days and weeks immediately after one of these tragedies, we see an awful lot of energy and enthusiasm and activism for some kind of gun control, which usually ends up running into a wall when it gets to the U.S. Congress or the White House, where there's just never been a whole lot, or at least hasn't been in the past decade, a whole lot of enthusiasm, particularly in the Republican-controlled Congress, for any kind of new legislation. It's a little different this time for a couple of reasons. I think one is that I think the faces of these young people who have been very, very active is really helping drive some conversation to this topic. And the second is that this president is so, open-minded on various topics that it's never entirely clear whether he is in favor or opposed. So there seems that there could be a window here for something, in part because we don't think the president is going to take the traditional stance of we don't want to do anything. But what he would actually support remains a little murky.
Now, with these bump stocks, this is something that came up in the big Las Vegas shooting last year. These things that modify guns, they raise the effective rate of fire of a semi-automatic weapon closer to that of an automatic weapon. The president saying stopping them. Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein says, you know, Congress needs to do this. Do you think this could happen?
Well, the last time this came up after the Vegas shooting, these things have been reviewed by the ATF before, and apparently at the time they more or less concluded they didn't have the legal authority to actually ban them, but they're now going back, and they said at the time they're going to go back and look at that decision and see if they could figure out another way at it. So remember that what the president ordered the Justice Department to do is to write a regulation. Well, that, of course, is a long process. It can take years, is open to all kinds of legal challenges from people who would still like to manufacture this particular product. So if it's going to get done, it would obviously be quicker to do it through legislation, although, of course, legislation also needs a regulation to implement it, so there's that. But it is something that Congress has said they'd be interested in, although Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, said the last time around that he would rather see it done through executive action in the agencies, regulations, not through Congress acting. We'll see if that mood has changed at all.
I want to bring on a caller or two on this. Michael starts us off in Milwaukee. Michael, hi.
Hi. As far as I see, this bump stock thing is just a distraction. The bump stocks really won't make any difference in the scheme of things. You have to do something to get some of these automatic weapons, the AR-15s, out of the hands of people. At least cut down on magazine capacity, maybe a 10-round capacity. People running around with, 30, 40, 50, 100-round magazines, that's just insane.
Michael, thanks for the call. So he says keeping these AR-15s, semi-automatic versions of them, out of the hands of citizens. What kind of other changes, apart from bump stocks, are people talking about in Congress? I've seen some suggestions that, hey, we could maybe change the age limits on some of these firearms.
Yeah, well, for starters, your caller is right that the bump stocks is a pretty esoteric portion of this debate. This is not the main, you know, issue. You know, solving bump stocks is not going to solve your guns problem to the degree you think you have one. There are a whole bunch of other things out there. I think the thing that's most interesting at the moment is there's a bipartisan effort that the president appears interested in and that Senator John Cornyn in Texas, the number two Republican in the Senate, has been leading. It's called the Fixed NICS bill. And the idea here is there is already a background check system, but that there are holes in it because agencies don't necessarily report all the appropriate information that's supposed to be in there. So the FBI doesn't know, for instance, that you maybe were adjudicated, you know, in some court somewhere, or I believe there's an issue that the military had not properly reported disciplinary action to the FBI background check system. So the background check is only as good as the system, as the information that's in the system. So this bill would look to shore some of that up. There's also, keep in mind, you know, we've got a spending bill coming up in a few weeks. They're trying to figure out how to fund the government for the rest of the year. There will be several efforts to boost the background check system in there with more money to do background checks more quickly, more possibly more money to improve the technology, possibly more money to improve the amount of information that's going in there. And then, of course, you'll have a conversation again about whether there are background checks should apply to additional weapons purchases, particularly what we always call the gun show loophole, meaning that if you buy a firearm from an unlicensed dealer in these cases, or a friend or a family member, what paperwork is required. You'll see some of that rise its head again. Whether or not it has support to pass is a different question.
Talking to Paul Singer, Washington correspondent for USA Today. He stays with us as we look into the week's political news. Coming up, new developments in the Russia investigation and Mitt Romney back in politics running for the U.S. Senate. We pick up the conversation now on the week's top political news with Paul Singer, Washington correspondent for USA Today. Paul, I want to move on to another issue now, the latest in the Mueller probe, the Russia investigation. We had all these indictments of Russians on Friday. Now a Dutch lawyer living in London pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI this week. What are we seeing in the latest there?
Well, this is one of those cases where we were looking at this one trying to write a headline for the story, which is basically guy you've never heard of and gently related to this case is, you know, pleading guilty. And it really looks like this is a fellow who was apparently working in cooperation with Paul Manafort in his other job. That is, Manafort had been a lobbyist for some Ukrainian government interests. This fellow apparently was working with Manafort on some kind of project for the Ukrainian government. What this has to do with Trump and Russia, of course, is a little bit of a thin line, but I think the theory is that they are trying to make a case, build a case against Paul Manafort for some sort of criminal activity that would lead Paul Manafort to then want to plead guilty and begin cooperating with the investigation. Paul Manafort, of course, was for a while Donald Trump's campaign CEO. So obviously, he'd be a worthwhile guy to have cooperating with the investigation. And that's what it looks like this particular guilty plea is about, is more about putting the squeeze on Manafort than anything directly related to President Trump.
And before that news, but after those Russia indictments, the president tweeted a lot about this over the weekend. What did we see?
Yes. Yeah, you know, the president has been tweeting a lot about, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders has been saying from the podium, that all of this proves there is no collusion with the Russians and also proves that they had no impact on the election. Neither of those facts is true, or neither of those claims, sorry, is true. What these indictments say is that some unwitting people on the Trump campaign were engaged with these Russians, but they don't say that that means that there wasn't some intentional collusion. They haven't gotten that far yet. There's at no point has the FBI or the Mueller team said conclusively there was no collusion. They just have not yet said that they have any evidence collusion. Similarly, I mean, you can't really say that there's evidence that the Russian hacking didn't have an effect on the election. What they seem to be saying is that it clearly didn't. They don't think it affected any direct voting. The Russians didn't penetrate any voting systems and change any votes. But they had an influence campaign going on through social media to try and sow dissension amongst American voters. Whether that changed any minds or turned any votes, we don't know, and you may never actually know. There's no way to tell. You know, did that campaign ad lead to a vote? We don't know.
To be continued there, I want to turn to a new candidate for the seat of Senate, a senator in Utah, a familiar name, Mitt Romney. Here's a little bit of a campaign ad released last Friday.
I have decided to run for United States Senate because I believe I can help bring Utah's values and Utah's lessons to Washington. Utah is a better model for Washington than Washington is for Utah.
Let's talk about the Romney-Trump relationship, often rocky. What did we see after this announcement?
A lot of peacemaking. The president apparently called Governor Romney over the weekend to congratulate him on getting into the race. President Trump had apparently been urging Orrin Hatch to stay in and to not retire and to run for re-election and to sort of elbow Mitt Romney out, but once Orrin Hatch decided to retire and open the door for Mitt Romney, it looks like everyone's going to try and make nice here. Mitt Romney has tweeted his thank yous to the president for his best wishes and that he plans to come here and work in Washington on the issues where they agree. He has said in interviews that he plans to obviously continue to speak his mind where he disagrees with the president, but that he thinks that on agenda items, on conservative issues, he thinks that they're going to agree more than they disagree.
And as we wrap up, Paul, we follow you on Twitter here, and there's been a lot of a flurry of tweets related to your typing activities. You use an old-fashioned typewriter, or at least you have one as a prop. I'm not sure which.
My handwriting is terrible, and so when I leave notes for people, I type on a manual typewriter. So I always have one here, which by the way, I'm hoping to show off with a photograph of me in my new WPR T-shirt one of these days. So,
excellent.
You know, guess I'll have to pledge.
All right. And are you a connoisseur of typewriters, or is it really just practical for leaving those notes?
No, I have about a dozen of them around the house. I prefer when I'm typing, I prefer to, or if I'm thinking, or if I'm keeping a journal, if I'm writing for my own personal purposes, I prefer the speed of a typewriter. I prefer the rhythm and the sound of it. It's more like jazz, and I find it more inspiring. I don't really like computers much.
In 10 seconds, Paul, you've made me want a typewriter. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob. You be well.
That's Paul Singer, Washington correspondent for USA Today. He joined us for a look at the top political stories of the week.